Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are once again talking about the things that matter when it comes to your money. That's grow your income and manage your expenses and create that gap. And so as we've been going through this, if you've been tuning in or if you're just tuning in, I would encourage you to go to RoyMatlockJr.com because we are upwards of 100 different podcasts. And this has been a long series that I've been doing about, you know, taking it from A to Z. You know, when you're putting together a financial plan, you know, it's not just luck if you become financially independent. It's because you actually had something. And there's four parts that I would encourage you to be thinking about. And, you know, if you can get with someone, this is what we do. I've always built financial outcomes for people. And the way I do that is the first thing is that we have a plan. You know, most people don't plan to fail. They fail to plan. And what that means is you've got to have a written plan that you're going to go by. In other words, things all the way from the defense and the offense, okay, to where you understand, and it's a planning tool. So what's a planning tool involve? It involves, you know, taking a look at your long-term retirement plans, how much you need, how much insurance you need, all these different things. But it's about 8 or 10 pieces that I usually kind of put together, from the budget, the emergency fund, having a plan to stay out of debt, only have good debt rather than bad debt, looking at all the insurance to make sure everything's right. And then we go into retirement plans to where we, you know, take advantage of the IRAs, or should we do a four, or if we have a 401k, whatever it may be. And then we have opportunity money, we buy a house, we get the right mortgage. It's all these things. All right. So that's the plan. All right. And so we start with a plan. So the four parts of the plan. The second part is ongoing education. If you get with me, what you're going to find is just through this radio show and through ongoing webinars and seminars and things like that, I want to keep you educated. Because, I mean, think about it. I don't care what you're doing right now. If you quit learning 10 years ago, you're in trouble. All right. And so you always want to be educated, have current, up-to-date things change, stuff like that. So the second part of winning the money game would be to have ongoing education. The third part is you need to have a trusted advisor, someone that's their full-time thing. You know, if I've learned over time to find people that know more than I do about certain subjects. All right. You know, if I walk into a doctor's office and the doctor knows less than me, then why would I go to the doctor? If I go into a lawyer's office and I know more about the law than they do, why would I hire that guy? And so it's the same with when it comes to your money. You want to find a financial advisor that knows more in a big way than you do. And so therefore, if you trust them, like them, and they know and they're qualified, you've got the third part. And then the last part, which people tend to be placed at the beginning, is called the product selection. You know, many cases I see companies, they sell products. They don't provide solutions. What they do is that their product is this. So therefore, that's what they're selling. They don't have a solution kind of mindset. And so the four parts, if you're thinking about getting financially independent, and I don't care how long, you know, you if you're young getting started or you're at or near retirement, it's always going to be you got to have a plan, you got to have ongoing education, you got to have a financial advisor that you trust, that's knowledgeable, that knows what they're doing. And then lastly, that advisor, their job is to make product selections for you based on what they know about you. And so that's kind of how that works. So you work with that, and then you start looking at, you say, well, what are some of the things I can really do to improve my financial position? Well, the first thing I always do is always work on your income and try to make good money decisions. Don't go do things that cause you to have big setbacks. And so that's the first thing. Remember, it's not only what you earn that counts, but what you keep. Your goal should be to live on 50% of your income, save 20 to 25% of your income, and then the IRS is going to get the rest. We're going to do everything we can to cut taxes and things like that. But the end game is that if you live on half of what you make and then you turn around and you just raise your income. I mean, hey, if you're making $200,000 a year, that's $100,000 a year you could live on. And so if you just keep raising your income, and I don't care what you do, if you become great at it, you're going to learn how to make money. I mean, you're going to make more money. You're going to, you know, the key element of that is find something you like to do, get great at it, and then you're going to demand a high paycheck. And so, or you're going to turn around and do things that are multiple income streams, whatever it may be. Always work on your income and live on half of what you make. Remember, on your expenses, everything that's managed always improves. So if you start looking daily at your expenses and you start looking at, you say, well, no, because I'm looking at it, okay, why am I doing this? This makes no sense. Why am I spending money on this? And the next thing you know, you improve it. And what I found is anything you do and monitor, you end up improving usually about 15 or 20%. So if you want to cut your expenses, first thing I would do is think about, you know, looking at what my expenses are. Start looking at it every day. Start thinking about where your money's going. And then before you know it, you manage it, and then you create that gap. So now what's happening is you're cutting your cost. You're not giving up things. You're just cutting stuff that doesn't even matter. And so now we got that going, okay? And you want to make sure that everything you're doing is got some type of written process. And what I mean by written, you know, I do it on my computer. I have my goals. I've got all my different things that happen that are causing me to kind of operate on a system. You know, I always believe this, that it's your GPS, your goal, your plan, your schedule. You say, well, I've got a goal. I want to do this. What am I going to do it? You document all that. And then the schedule is the habits that you create that are good habits. I know if you're a business person and you're self-employed, well, you've got to create good solid work habits and schedules and stuff like that. Otherwise, you will not get around to doing the things that cause you to do well. And so we want to do that. That's the GPS. The written goals will keep you on track. Then eventually you will develop a mindset, and that mindset is, I'll give you the best example of a mindset. The mindset is when you're broke many times, you believe that spending money is going to make you happy. And so, therefore, you get in that. But then one day you say, you know what, that's not what happens. What makes me happy is that I've got money saved. I've got security. And so, therefore, it's easy to say no to bad decisions, spending that I don't have, stuff like that, because you pull up your investment account and you're like, hey, this is cool. I made this much money. I mean, anybody that's been in the market the last, you know, 10 years, you're like, wow, this is crazy. I mean, it's like magic. And so anyway, I hope today, as we pull all this together, we're going to answer a bunch of questions for you. But my name is Roy Matlock Jr. And visit roymatlockjr.com. I would encourage you to, you know, sign up for the podcast or, you know, call our office at 615-843-2999. We answer 24/7 and we can help you get started moving in the road to financial independence. We'll be right back. All right, we are back, Roy Matlock Jr., and today's show we're talking about just kind of tying everything together. I'm going to answer some questions that I get all the time. I've been doing this for, gosh, I'm 60 years old, and I started doing this when I was 24. I've had everything you can imagine under the sun ask over time. You know, I did, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week for like 7 years on the radio answering financial questions. I came back and did this. I have customers that, you know, clients that come in and they ask me questions. And so we're going to cover a lot of this stuff based on years and years of doing these kind of things. But if you need help with your money, the first thing you do is you need to ask for help. And the way you ask for help is you can visit roymatlockjr.com and schedule a free consultation or call us and or just start your education process by going to our website. We've got a great website that has all kinds of things that will help you. So we talked about the GPS, you know, quickly, you know, save 20-25% of your income, live on half, always manage things. Anything you manage improves, put it on paper, you know, to help you, and then read that every day, wake up and have your life goals, not just your financial goals. You got all kinds of goals. If you want to get healthier, you do the same thing. And so then over time, those written goals keep you on track. Then you make a decision. It'll always happen. And what I mean by it, when you make a decision, it always happens. For instance, if someone graduates from, you know, college, it's because they made a decision along the way. All right. they had all these things that would stop them from doing it, but they made a decision, okay? And so once you make a decision, obstacles get out of your way. Once you decide you're going to get out of debt and not be broke anymore and you're going to get financially independent, you'll start automatically, because of the goals that you have in place and the fact that you're, for the sake of a brainwashing yourself into making good decisions. Before you know it, you make good decisions automatically. You don't know why it happened. You just dadgum did it, okay? And you put yourself in a position. You know, I tell people this, you know, you want to learn about money, just get up every morning and listen to my podcast. And when you're in the car, listen to my podcast. And I've got 100 of them. You go to roymatlackjr.com or you go to Apple or Spotify, but it's called the Roy Matlack Jr. Money and Business Hour. And I believe that if you start with number one and you decide that as you're driving down the road, you're going to make your car your classroom, you're going to learn about money, and you go through those 100 things, before you know it, you're going to say, you know, I should be doing that show. I know all this stuff, all right? Because the more you put into it, and this is just taking and allocating some time. Listen to the podcast. I listen to podcasts all the time about all different types of things. So anyway, so once a decision is made, it's always going to happen. So what you want to do is always work on your clearness, okay? Being very clear on what you want and focus on getting better educated and always ask for help and utilize qualified mentors and be coachable. That's the starting point. So then what happens is, if you're just tuning in here, we've covered a lot of things. Basically, we covered, you know, there's really like five parts that, you know, that I believe go into making all this happen. We've covered most of them. You can go back in our previous shows, but the first one is having a positive winning attitude and a positive mindset. The second is protect yourself. And that's the defense, and you can find that again in our podcast. You want to, number three, work on developing income. Number four, you want to work on saving and investing and going in and having a great offense. And now what we're going to do is go into the fifth one, and that is time. All right? So time is important. All right? So let me give you some ideas about time. Time, if you try to get rich quick investing, you're probably going to get broke quick. And so you don't get rich overnight. Just a little heads up. I think Amazon made its first profit after 11 years. How about that? They're in business. Now the guy's the richest guy in the world, and everybody's like, you know, everybody knows him, and, you know, you can do business anywhere. But 11 years, okay, with a vision, never made a profit for 11 years. So there's things like that. So time, generally, get rich quick is 15 or 20 years. Generally speaking, we say market cycles are 5 or 6 years. So you're going to go through 2 or 3 market cycles. If you're investing money, you're going to have to spend time to get competent to where you can earn income. You know, one of the things that I would say is this, that, you know, people focus way too much on cutting cost when what they really need to do is just manage cost. But what they need to focus on is raising their income. And that's the, and how do you do that? You get better. And so you got to become competent, all right? Especially when it comes to investing your money. Otherwise, what'll happen is, first thing you do is you make a lot of money, and what happens? You lose it, all right? And every investment over time reverts to the mean, okay? And what I mean by that, you know, right now, if you're thinking about buying a house right now, you're like, dadgum, these houses are so expensive. They've been going up crazy, all right? But don't forget back in 2008, 9, and 10, that they went down just like that. And if you go back over a period of time, typically real estate's going to get you about 4%, or that's about what a home appreciates. You can go back and say, okay, how much is this house worth? Let's go back 18 years ago. It's probably worth half that. 18 years again, it's probably worth half that. So real estate does that. The idea behind real estate is you got some leverage with it by borrowing money. So you get, you know, a little bit of a leverage return. But mostly, unless you're using it for rental purposes, the real estate, the idea is find something that is simple to pay and something that you like, and then live in it, and you're good. The stock market on average gets about 10, all right? So, but it's not a leveraged investment, generally speaking. So, you know, you look at it, you say, well, we got a couple ways. We can go into like investments like mutual funds and stuff like that, or managed accounts or things like that. And we call that passive investing. If you want to go into real estate investment trust, you can get the equivalent of a mutual fund and buy real estate. You can do that. Or you can go into the real estate business. A lot of people have rental properties. My buddy of mine's got hundreds of rental houses, but he has a staff to do all that kind of stuff. And so as a result of it, it becomes kind of passive. So you got to decide, what do you want to do? But the long story short is you got to give yourself time. You got to accumulate over time. You know, it's interesting. My mother just turned 98. All right, 98. And do you know that they bought their first duplex? My dad was big into real estate, all this kind of stuff. They bought their first real estate when they were 19 years old, and they still to this day own real estate. My mother still, we still have a few rental properties. Over time, we started moving it out over the last 15 years as they got older, but we still have a few of them. And can you imagine that? Okay, 79 years of investing, and to this day. And as a result, you know, that's the cool part. You know, one of the problems that people run into is they run out of money because they live too long. Can you imagine if you retired age 60 and you happened to live to 98 and you hadn't been working since then? You better have something going on for you. And so anyway, you need to learn the rule of 72. Rule of 72 tells you how long it takes your money to double. And once you understand that, you'll start making decisions on where you have your money. For instance, like right now, if you get 0.1%, that would be like a bank money market. It'll take you 720 years for your money to double. How about that? I mean, that sounds exciting, doesn't it? All right, but if you get 10%, it'll double in 7 years. And so you start looking at it, you say, well, I'm going to have my short-term money, emergency fund, but after that, I got to get something over a period of time does well. And so understand and learn if you the rule of 72. We have investment basics. So let me give you some ideas on investment basics. Don't allow the media to pick the timing of your investments. You know, I generally speaking don't see multi-millionaire investors that are writers, okay? What I see is they write articles in order to have headlines, and those headlines get read, and then they end up people make decisions on that. You know, used to, when I first got started, the stock market, because, you know, you couldn't go to the internet to find out what was going on, so you would find out at the end of the day, well, the Dow was down today, you know, 20 points or whatever. And then people wouldn't have online access to where they could log in and find out what's going on. And they would get their statements at the end of the quarter in the mail. It'd be sometime a week or two after that. And that was just the way it was. So my experience has been, if you want to do well in investing, buy and hold and find things that fit your risk spectrum. That's what we do for people. You get your risk tolerance, you invest especially on a regular basis and dollar cost average and invest monthly. That's the good news with a 401k. If you came to me and you said, I want a Roth IRA, I would say, let's do $500 a month and then fund it that way. So we end up getting, you know, the benefit of down markets. And so with that being said, I want you to stay with me. If you're just tuning in, my name is Roy Natlock Jr. You can go to roynatlockjr.com. And if you need help with your money, visit there, download some of our resources. We'll be right back. All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are back, and we're going to go to focus point 6, and that's retirement and beyond. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, and then I'm going to put some questions and answers in that a lot of people ask me all the time. So when you're at or near retirement, I call it the three Ps. You want to protect, protect, protect. And what are we going to protect? Well, we're going to protect our assets against, you know, maybe a long-term care event. You know, one of the things that happens if you get out into your retirement age and you've got it all planned out, and then one of you ends up going into a nursing home or you have some kind of thing like that. So one of the things that it's almost like getting a divorce because you got two households and you got one retirement income. So a lot of times I tell people, unless you're in a really good position financially, I would be thinking about long-term care insurance. And that's something that you can purchase, and it covers a lot of different things. And if you need help on that, you can call our office and we can advise you on that. We have some referral sources to do that kind of stuff. But if you're at or near retirement and you've got a reasonable retirement account, and if all things go well, minus the nursing home stay, you would be okay, then I would take a portion of my money and probably pick up some long-term care insurance. Now, if you go in there and you say, hey, I've done really well, had a couple just recently I talked to, they got their house paid for, they got a couple $1 million saved, all right, and they're going to get Social Security and all that kind of stuff. Realistically, they can afford a nursing home stay. And I would say, hey, you're self-insured. Don't worry about it. All right. So you want to do that. You want to protect against that. We want to protect our purchasing power. And that's why we got to always make sure that we have things that will get some inflation protection. So you can't be completely, in the bank or into bonds or something like that. So you got to make sure you have that. Because as time goes on, if you live 20 years into retirement, it's going to cost you twice as much on average 20 years from now to live as it did. Last thing you want to do is do that, and then you end up in a situation where you got money coming in, but you can't afford to eat. All right, so we're going to protect against the healthcare risk. We're going to protect against the inflationary risk. And then the last thing that we're going to protect against is longevity. All right, so we want to make sure that we pull things out, okay, in a way that we're not going to run out of money. All right, we want to protect our income streams, and so we want to make sure we're good there. Now, from there, I'm going to go into some what I call risk, okay, in retirement. The first one is taxation. We've been if you're out there accumulating your 401k. And you've done a good job. The good news is you've been saving all that money and you've been saving in taxes and stuff like that. Well, now the question is, when we have to start paying it, what should we do? And that's where we can help you on figuring out what's the best place to start. And there's a lot of different things that go into taxation. If you have too much investment income, then the next thing you know, you have to pay Social Security, a tax on your Social Security. So what we do, we go in and we meet with people. And when we meet with them, we would say, all right, let's take a look at your income streams. Let's take a look at how long we can defer them or we can get tax-free, whatever. Let's look at what goes on when it comes to what's going to cause you taxation on your Social Security, all this kind of stuff. When should you draw? All those kind of things. We put it all together in the way of a plan. But a lot of it has to do with tax, all right? So as you're retiring, you want to, at the end of the day, you want to get, the most money. And taxes are just, the way I look at taxes is, if you're paying $1,000 a month in income taxes, that's like you may have a $1,000 house payment. So it doesn't matter to you. It's gone, right? So let's see if we could cut our costs and do that. The next thing that we have to look at is market risk. Last thing you want to do is get involved in something that, the market goes down. It's more aggressive than you really should have been in. And then you're sitting here and you're having to sell in order to live at a lower price. So you want to make sure and have the proper risk tolerance set up. The third one is inflation I just talked about. We got to look for something that we can keep up with inflation. We don't want to outlive our money. And then lastly, we want a clear way of pushing money to the next generation. It's interesting. I heard something, a friend of mine last night, we were at dinner and she is from Brazil. And it was two things I thought was pretty funny about Brazil. Number one, they force you to vote, okay, or you get fined. And the second thing is that you have to certify your will. So if you have a will, you have to actually put the will. You're required to do that by law to be able, not like over here where you don't even have to vote. And even if you do vote, we don't even know if it's a vote that is properly registered. And you sure don't get fined. And then also, people die without a will, or they have a will that's in the drawer and they don't know what's going on. All right. And so I would encourage you, if the last thing you want to do is leave your kids in a mess, all right, and have them fighting over things. I can tell you stories, where things are messed up, especially, people get older and there's one of the kids, just sign right here. Okay. And we'll do. And next thing you know, I had a situation where there are three beneficiaries, and the mother signed over the money to one of the kids. And then before you know it, it was gone. And, you know, I see those kind of things going all the time. So you want to have proper, you know, type things in place. Might be a living trust, might be a life insurance trust. You know, do you want to leave your kids millions of dollars so they can go through your life work in a few days? You might have what we call spendthrifts. Clauses in there to where they only get so much of it, and then they got to wait a period of time in order to do it. But the long and short of it, that's where you get with a legal professional. You know, I have someone I work with. If you need referrals for things like that, I do this kind of stuff. I mean, we basically anything that has to do with money. I always tell people, if you have anything to do with money, you need anything with money, I'm the only business card you need. If I don't do it, I can send you somewhere. And so if you want to reach us, just go to roymatlockjr.com or you can make a phone call. We answer 24/7, 615-843-2999. We can advise you. As I mentioned earlier in the show, four keys to becoming financially independent. Number one is a plan. Number two is proper education. Number three is an advisor, and number four is the product. And then you need to have, and the advisor will help you monitor your plan, keep you educated, and help you choose the products. That's what we do. We're a financial advisor. I am a fiduciary, and we do all of those type of things. So now we're in this retirement and beyond. We got to create the income stream. We go in, we start looking. So, well, you know, how much can we pull? Well, you've got certain, you know, pensions, you got annuities, you got Social Security. You're pulling all of it, because it's really not anything sitting there, okay, that backs it up. But then you've got retirement plans where you've got, you know, a certain amount of money to where you might be pulling 4%, 5%, whatever it may be. You've got some stock, some bond. You might look at different annuities, you know, that allow you to get a lifetime income guarantee. So we go into that. And basically what an annuity is, the original annuity was the opposite of life insurance. Life insurance, if you buy life insurance, you throw a premium against a death benefit. So it's $100 a month, and they say, we'll pay $250 if you die. So if you give them $100 one time and you die the next month, you're going to get your family get $250. Well, insurance annuities initially started out by saying, look, you give us $250 and we're going to give you X number of dollars a month, and your bet is you're going to outlive that money and the insurance company is going to lose. But what you're doing is you're getting a lifetime income guarantee, but you're trading cash for it. And then the annuities got better to where you didn't lose your cash. You could put it in there and they give you lifetime income guarantees. But if there's money left over, you got beneficiaries. You got some annuities that guarantee principal. You got some annuities that are in the market. Some annuities that will allow you to have some risk in it that they'll make up. There's all different types of things. But at the end of the day, an annuity is an insurance contract. And just like you go to the bank with the FDIC and things like that, here's what happens. You're buying insurance and you're paying a premium for that insurance. And so what you want to do is get the answers to when, should I draw Social Security? You know, should I draw? You know, we got to look at it. And generally speaking, you know, the sooner you draw it, the better, unless you're working. And so we have to look at it at when your Social Security age is. And then we create a family legacy by teaching our children. All right. And then we also do things that our children want to know. They don't want to walk in and say, hey, mom, hey, dad, how much money you got? What is going on? So with that being said, what I would suggest you do right now, if you want help, visit RoyMatlockJr.com, and we will sit down with you. It's a free call. It's a free consultation. Hopefully, we can help you get moving in the right direction. With that being said, we'll be right back. All right, we're back. RoyMatlockJr.com, and we are going to do things, if you visit that, to help you get where you need to go. My name is Roy Matlock. This is the Money and Business Hour, where we help you learn about money. And again, visit RoyMatlockJr.com. It's the place to get your, you know, the resources. And if you need help with your money, I would say do the same thing and give us a call at 615-843-2999. I'm going to answer questions now. All right. So, you know, I do all these appointments, all right, and I have people ask me a lot of things. And so let me give you an example. I have people say, what about life insurance? Do I need life insurance? I'm single. Should I own life insurance? You know, I remember when I first got involved in the business, you know, you could have I didn't have any liabilities. I didn't have any kids. I didn't have a mortgage. You know, I was what we call a no star. I just had a little bit of money coming in. And the end of the day, if something happened to me, my car was poor, they could sell my car, put me in the ground, and that was the end of it. And then one day, I got married, and then I bought a house, then I had a kid, okay, and then I ended up having three more kids, and so then I had four kids, and before you know it, I had all these responsibilities, and I had an income, and so that's when, at the time when you start having those responsibilities, you say, well, my family is dependent on my income, so I should buy income protection. And what income protection is when you buy life insurance, think of this, it's to protect an income. I'm going to give you an example. If you're making $100,000 a year, here's a rule of thumb. You could put a zero on the end of that $100,000, and that would be $1 million. If you got 8%, that'd pay $80,000 a year. You're gone, okay? And that would give you an income stream for your family. So we have all these different rules. Some, it's a financial decision. What should you buy? Always buy term, okay? I've never seen anything good come out of cash value life other than commissions, okay, for the insurance agent selling it. But the best type of term, Consumer Reports has been recommending it, buy term insurance always. And so then what you do, you get started, you buy, you know, 20-year term, 30-year term, whatever it may be. And the goal is to get to a point where you, when you retire, you've got cash and you need very little insurance. All right. Had a question. What is a life settlement? You may have seen this, a lot of these ads that are going on about, you know, we will buy your life insurance policy, that kind of deal. So what is a life settlement? Are they good? Do they make sense? Let me give you just an idea on what happens. When you buy life insurance, the first thing an insurance company does is they underwrite you. And they their goal is to have what they call good mortality. What good mortality is that they collect premiums and you don't die. You hope to be good mortality. You never want to collect on it. You'd rather not collect. So we're on the same page. So what happens, though, they ask you medical questions, and they do all that kind of stuff, and they send a nurse out, and you do a physical, and they say, okay, you're healthy, and we'll provide you life insurance for 20 years. All right, it's going to cost this or whatever it is. And then what happens is, over time, you have a heart attack or you get diabetes, you start having health problems. You get out there, and now you're at or near retirement, and your premiums are getting expensive, and you're like, hang on a second. I don't want to pay $800 a month for this policy. All right, I need to retire. And your health is poor. And then what happens is you see this ad. It says, we will buy your life insurance policy. So what happens is there's a company called Viaticals and there's a company called Life Settlements. All right. The difference in a life settlement and a viatical is a life settlement tends to be for older people that are still healthy. All right. And what happens is insurance companies on average, all right, the longer someone keeps a policy in force, their health is not as good. So there's companies out there that say, hey, here's what we'll do. We'll give you some cash and take over your premium. All right. So rather than you paying the $800 a month, we'll give you some cash. In addition to that, we'll take over the premium. We'll be the beneficiary on it. And they do that. They underwrite you based on your health, and the worse health you're in, the more money you get. And so on. A viatical is when it's a nearer term, you've been diagnosed with something bad and you need some cash quickly, then you can do that. So you might, you know, if you hear those ads, they're not all bad, but you need to just be understanding what they're all about. All right. So I had another question that says, what are the most important things that you need to save for? Okay. Or in order to be able to save? Well, you want to automate. I always tell people that. The best way to save money is to automate your savings. All right, what do I mean by that? Have it pulled out of your paycheck, have it drafted out of your checking account. That's step number one in getting ahead. Then what you want to do is you want to look at rate of return, and you also want to look at return, meaning you don't want to put it into stuff where you're not going to get the money back. You know, I see people right now, they're Bitcoin experts and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, it's interesting. I'd love to have someone that is investing in Bitcoin to explain to me what they just bought. And that would be that. That'd be like a comedy show getting someone to say, oh, I bought Bitcoin. Great. Can you explain it? No, I don't have any idea what it is. I'm just buying it. Okay. And that's what happens. And so you want to make sure that when you put stuff, money into things, that you get a return on it. And then you want to get a rate of return. And then you put time in place. And guess what? You are in good shape. All right. Next question is, how do I figure out how much I need to retire on? We call that a FIN number, the financial independence number. We actually provide that. So let me give you just a quick idea on financial independence number. You say, well, to begin with, here's what I'm doing. I make this much. I'm saving 20% of my income. So if I'm making 100 grand, I really am only having 80 grand. And then out of that 80 grand paying taxes. So if I want to live like I'm doing and I look at my budget and I'm living on 50 grand, whatever it is, that's what it costs me to live. And I say 50 grand. Well, if I got 30 years out here in the future, how much is 50 going to need to be? Oh, it's going to need to be 120 grand. You say, okay, now we got that. We got an inflated number. Then we back that out. We say, well, if I get 8% on my money and I'm going to live for 20 years, what's the lump sum needed in order for me to be able to quit getting 8 with inflation being maybe 3 or 4 and I'm going to live 20 years after retirement? And what's the expected rate of return I'm going to get while accumulating money out in the into the future? And you put all that into this little thing we call a financial needs analysis. And I say to you, based on what you told me, you need to save $1,428 a month for 30 years, and you're going to have your FIN number, you're going to be financial independent, your financial independence number. That's how you do that. All right. I have another question. Well, how do I pick my 401k? All right. The 401k, or it could be your retirement plan through a 403b or whatever it may be. What I tell people, if you just have no idea, look at target date funds, all right? Because one of the things about target dates, they came out with the idea that no matter what your educational level is, you can sure take your birth year and add 65 to it, or 70 or 60, depending on when you think you're going to retire. And then what the investment firm is going to do, you're just going to draft your money. I'm going to put my 6% in. They're going to do 3%. And if you do that, that's going to be your best solution if you don't have anybody helping you. All right. So I always tell people target dates. I'm not sold on target dates as being the best solution. But if you're out there by yourself, you don't know what to choose, pick the target date, take your birth year and add 65 or 70, depending on how long you think you're going to work, and add that to it, and it'll come up. So let's say you're born in 1980. And you said, well, I'm born in 1980. I'm going to add 65 to 1980. That's 2045. I'm going to look and find me a target date, life series, whatever it's called, 2045. And that'll give me just a ballpark way of doing things. All right. What about previous 401ks? What should I do with them? My experience has always been, I run into people all the time and they tell me, oh, I've got 401ks from my previous job. I got 3 or 4 of them, all this kind of stuff. Best thing, generally speaking, and again, you have to look, you know, I have to give general overviews without meeting with someone. You may be better off leaving it where it is, but generally speaking, by moving them and combining them, you're able to allocate them better. Because you know, you rather than having 3 or 4 different places, and today this is becoming happening all the time. People work for 5 years at 401k, they leave and they go somewhere else and they leave it there. You know, I'm not real fired up about rolling your 401k into your existing 401k, but some people do it. But you do have the option. You have a couple options when you're working for a company. The first one is when you leave, you can obviously roll it to an IRA. When you retire, you can and you terminate employment, you enroll it to 401k or from the 401k to an IRA. And then the last thing that a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, if you go work with a company, especially if you're the smaller company, many times the cost in the 401ks are more expensive. Additionally, the options are less. And even in big companies, they've got different, you know, limited options when it comes to your 401k. If you're 59 and a half, you can do what's called an in-service distribution. That means you can stay at your job, continue to contribute, continue to get matching funds, but the money that's sitting in there, you can roll it to an IRA. And when you roll it to an IRA, it moves over there tax-free. You're not taking the money. Now you have access to all of the different options. And so depending on your age and things like that, if you're 59, at least 59 and a half, you can do that kind of stuff, and it gives you options to be able to do it. I have another question that came in. What's the difference in an index fund and just regular mutual funds? All right. So an index fund is a fund that just will put it, let's just say the S&P 500. So an index fund, they invest across the S&P 500. Now, there's different types of S&P index funds. One of them is the most widely known, to where they take a market cap and they invest it. So let's say Facebook is 4% of the S&P. They would have 4% in there. And every night, the top 500 companies in asset size, they reallocate that and they put it in there and they mirror that thing. Now, why do people go into index funds? Well, the index is average, you know, S&P's averaged 10% for a long, 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 long time. And so they said, well, if we do that, what are the negatives on index funds? Well, it's always fully invested. And in many cases, it's fully invested in the companies that have appreciated the most. So it may be a little more volatile than if you, say, get into a professionally managed mutual fund. And so one of the key elements that I've seen about that is, you know, the most important thing you can do as an investor is to stay in the market and don't let yourself panic and be out of the market and stuff like that. And so I hope these questions, I've got so many questions. I'm looking here, you know, how to refinance, what's the best way to do it, all these kind of things. So what we're going to do, if you're tuning in right now, go to roymatlockjr.com and start listening to these podcasts. You'll see this series has been going on. I'm sitting here right now, you know, I guess I've been like 30-something shows that I've been putting together in a series, and now we're to the question and answer. So visit roymatlockjr.com. If you need help, we can help you there. Also, download some of our free resources. For instance, our client education series is a 13-part, 45-minute Zoom series, A to Z, walking you through all this. Hey, once again, we're knocking out another show. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. Stay tuned and listen next week.